Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Taking this blessed book and going through it verse by verse has been truly a blessing. Been a blessing to me. I pray it has been to you. Now today we're going to take the next verse, verse 24. And it's a passage of scripture that the Spirit of God has been pleased to deal with numerous times in this book. And verse 24 says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house." Now, you know, I thought to myself as I read that, we've read it before. We looked at that in Proverbs 21:9. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman, a woman of contentions, in a wide house. And that wide house there, it means a house of society. Also, there's a word in there of enchantment. Verse 19 of Proverbs 21, it's better to dwell in the wilderness, that is, in the land of the desert, than with a contentious and angry woman, a morose, cheerless, cold woman. Proverbs 19:13 said, "A foolish, self-confident son is the calamity, great afflictions or disgrace of his father, and the contentions, the strife of a wife, are a continual dropping, like a roof that's leaking, and you can't find it, can't find the leak. You're trying, it's just, where does it end, you know?" But now the Spirit of God has been pleased to write something that we've considered again and again, and obviously the Spirit of God wanted us to deal with it again today, and so that's what we're going to do. He said it's better. And you know, when the Spirit of God says something's better, we want to know what's better. We better give heed to it. There's an admonition. Better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, humanly speaking, I always like to just make a note on humanly speaking. Because the Proverbs are written where we understand. We can understand it. But again, how many times have we considered this thought? If we don't see the gospel in it, then we missed it. We just... We need to understand. We've got to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this. But humanly speaking, we would admit the pain of having to bear up with a relationship with a spouse, man or woman. It says woman, and I'm going to show you why in just a minute. But humanly speaking, I'd whole lot rather be in a nice, quiet relationship than a relationship of turmoil, wouldn't you? I'd rather. I mean, I hate confrontation. I hate it. I hate confrontation. It just grieves me to have that. But you know, I'd rather be in a marriage that's peaceful and quiet and found to be in harmony. That I'd rather that, but though that is important, that is not the message of this passage. This is not what that passage is talking about. I've seen, heard men that take this, and the men take it like it's always the woman's fault. That just ain't so. I tell you what, that's a two-way street. So let's before we get on a high horse here and start bashing women, that's not the issue here. These verses deal, as we've seen before, not with a natural relationship, though that is a matter that is serious. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wives. Wives, adapt yourself. Submit. Adapt yourself to your husband. If he's doing all that he can do, live together in harmony. Love one another. Forgive one another. That's scriptural. But again, that's not the message here. This verse of scripture is dealing with the seriousness of the relationship of spiritual light and spiritual darkness, that it doesn't mix. You can't mix the two. And it's a relationship that's set forth in these scriptures time and time and time again. So when it comes to looking at these scriptures, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to deal with the relationship between a man and a woman, though that is important. I'm not going to make light of that. It is important. A man that doesn't love his wife, treat his wife with respect. A woman that doesn't treat her husband with respect and adapt herself to him and help him and encourage him and stuff, there's something wrong. But let's deal with the gospel on this thing. The Lord, when it comes to dealing with this passage of Scripture, what it's talking about is the associating ourselves spiritually with a place where religious services are held and where men stand in pulpits and preach to men and women who are eternally bound souls. That, you know, great heed must be taken concerning what you hear. I turned on the TV this morning, and there was a very famous preacher. Everybody's heard of him. Everybody knows who he is. And I heard him make a statement. And here was the statement. A huge audience, huge, huge audience. And he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he laid down his life and paid for all the sins of every man and every woman that has ever been born in this world, paid for them with his blood. He atoned for all the sins of all the people, past, present, and future." Now, there's only one problem with that statement. There's just one problem with it. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He's not a failure. He's not a failure. And I know how they'll justify this, and they'll say, "Yes, but you have to accept it to make it effectual." That's a lie. That's a lie. That makes salvation by your decision then, by your work. And it's not by work. So now, something's wrong. Here's the problem. We need to make sure we're hearing what God has to say and not what men have made up. This is what this scripture is dealing with. The Lord Jesus Christ gave warning in Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed with what you hear. Be careful. Be like the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily. Please, please listen. If I say something, I'm going to give you a scripture. Write it down and go back and check it out. And make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Because if I'm not telling you the truth, shame on me. Heard Brother Henry said, but he said, "If I tell you the truth and you refuse it, shame on you." Because God's the standard. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, with what degree you judge what's being heard, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be given more. That means as a man hears and applies what he hears, by the grace of God, or if he's left to himself to not believe it, he's going to be dealt with on that basis. So let's be careful. So hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of free and sovereign grace, is without question, that's the avenue of God. That's God's means of salvation. This is God is a God of means. God is a God of means. He cools us by the breeze. He sends a breeze. He warms us by the sun. God uses the means of his providing. So the means of salvation is the hearing of the gospel. Make sure we're hearing what's true. I want to take these scriptures and I want to make sure, Lord, help me to set forth the truth in the light of this word. Because we're going to die and we're going to stand before God. And the Lord has raised up preachers to watch for your souls. Paul said in Ephesians 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want to make sure I know what the gospel is. The gospel is the message that declares how God saves sinners by grace alone, without any works on man's part. Get that part of it. No works. It's what you just read, Fred. Who was saved? Not of blood. Not just because your mom and daddy were believers. That doesn't make you a believer. Not by the will of the flesh. Not by the will of the flesh. Not by the will of man. I told you before, I want God to save my grandchildren, my children. I want him to. I desire him to. But it's going to have to be God. I can't convince them. I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I want them to be saved. I want them to hear the gospel. I want them to hear the truth. This is how God's going to save them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Is this message a free grace, sovereign grace? Is it necessary? Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when it comes to the relationship of associating oneself with a group where preaching is conducted, it's better. It's better. It's beautiful. It's best. It's cheerful. It's ease. It's pleasant than not hearing that. It's better. It's better. So here it is. Proverbs 25:24. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. It's better to dwell in the corner of the rooftop, exposed to all the inconveniences and elements and ridicules and oppressions of the world, than with a contentious woman in a house of common, or a house of society, or a house of enchantment. Now, I got a quick question that we've dealt with before, but I got to deal with it again. Who is the brawling woman? It's better. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman. Well, I'll tell you who she is. Now, this is the message of this passage. She is the contentious and angry woman of Proverbs chapter 7. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Here's who it is. Proverbs Here's the revelation of who this brawling, contentious, angry woman is. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 12. The scripture says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, supple in heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Now this brawling, contentious woman, she's a woman that's revealed to be a woman of great commotion or tumult. And she's never at rest. Never resting in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's loud, the scripture says. She's one of great commotion and stubborn. Word is rebellious and withdrawn. So that's okay. Here's the description of her. Now, secondly, this woman, this brawling woman now that's being spoken of back in Proverbs 25, she's a trap. Look at verses 13 to 17. Here was this woman. Scripture says, here's this young man. She caught him. She kissed him. And with an impudent face, said unto him, that impudent face, loud, forceful. She said to him, "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face. I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let us take our love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed." Now here's what I know about this woman. She's a trap. And based on what we just read, she's an unfaithful woman. Unfaithful. Unfaithful to God, unfaithful to God's word, unfaithful to God's will, God's way of salvation, and therefore her eternal purpose is the entrapment of God's people. And I'll show you that in just a minute over in Revelation. This woman is married. She's married. She's talking about the good man of the house. She's a married woman. And you say, "Well, no, I thought she was a harlot." No, it says in verse 10, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot." Subtle of heart. She's married. She's not just she's married, but she's not married to Christ. She's married to the world. She's married to works. She's married to everything that is unholy and unjust. She's this brawling, contentious, loud, stubborn woman. And yielding to her unfaithful speech and advances is nothing less than the eternal damnation of a man's soul. Look at verse 21 to 23. "With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." Who is this woman? She is all false religion. All man-centered, man-honoring, soul-damning, free will religion. She's described, turn over to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. She's described as the great whore. Revelation 17, verses 1 and 2. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She's the one with whom the scripture declares the inhabitants of the earth, those that are of the world, those that are in the world and of the world. That's not the description of God's people. He said, you're in the world, you're not of it. We're not of its way, its thoughts, its religion. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What is actually going on? Where the gospel of God, the gospel of God's free grace, what's going on in every place where a message that gives men honor and tells men God wants to do something for you if you'll let him? That's blasphemy. That is so blasphemous. What, making God a puppet? God's not a puppet. God Almighty rules in heaven and earth. He speaks, and it is. He says, my counsel is going to stand. It's going to stand. I will do all my pleasure. And men says, God's waiting for you to let him save you. Every place where the message is not proclaimed that God rules in creation, in providence, and in salvation. He's God. He said he's God. And God's preacher says he's God. Every place where men are told, men are being told, men and women are being told, just like this fella this morning, I thought to myself, and it panned out over the congregation, and I looked at the faces of those people, and I mean, they were all just, God loves all of you. He wants to save you if you'll let him. And I'm thinking, you're going to stand before God. And he's going to answer for what he's told you. He lied to you. This brawling woman, this contentious, brawling woman, is the great whore of this world, of false religion that's telling everybody. And everybody that's listening to her, they've been made, according to the scriptures, spiritually intoxicated with that inebriating drink of her false message, lying to people with that God despising, man exalting doctrine. I told you a while ago, and I'm going to close in here, just a couple of other verses, and she has one purpose, the destruction of the kingdom of God. You say, well, it doesn't matter what you hear. The Lord said, you take heed what you hear. The Lord said, you better take heed what you hear. You better make sure it's according to this book. Take heed, listen to this. I told you that her purpose is the destruction of the kingdom of God, the church, the bride. Revelation 17:6 says, I saw the woman drunken, well drunk, with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, John said, I wondered with great admiration. Now, he wasn't admiring her. What it means is he was astonished at her. He was astonished at what he saw. She was drunk with the blood of the saints. That's what satisfied her. As alcohol satisfies that hungering for a drunkard. He said, this woman right here, this harlot, this false religion, she's all dressed up like the woman back in Proverbs 7. She was dressed up in the attire of a harlot to attract I mean, you know, she's got something to show. So she's going to show it. And so it's something that appeals to the flesh. And this is what false religion does. The gospel gives man no glory. And that flies in the face of the carnal heart. It flies in the face. I told you about my uncle that told me years ago when I was in Louisiana. He said, "I'll never go to that church where you go again. Never." I said, "Why?" Told me I was a sinner. He said, "I'm not a sinner. Not the way you say it." He said, maybe I'm not as good as I, you know, could be, but he said, "I'm not that bad." I said, "Well, according to these scriptures, you are, and I am too." This woman, being drunk with the blood of the saints, continually slakes for thirst of their blood, their destruction. So back in ending it in Proverbs 25, a spiritual application of Proverbs 25:24. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop. It's better to be separated in a place of exposure. It was saying in the corner of the housetop, it was one of the writers was saying most all the housetops there were all flat. They were flat roofs. And it was places where you could sleep, you could assemble, you could have just, it was just a kind of an open area. But it said it'd be better. It was open air. It just, you know, there was the sky. It'd be better to dwell, to stay, to set your place right there. This is where I'm going to be, right here. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling, contentious, angry, striving woman in a wide house of society that appeals to the world. That's what it is. The house of enchantment. It's better. Knowing the warning of God, which goes much deeper than the family was talking about. It's better. What a miracle of God's grace that the Lord would give us any indication, any truth concerning the hazard, the damning, soul-damning hazard of hearing something that's not true concerning God and men and their eternal souls. 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I pray that God bless this to our heart. Said again, I know that we've dealt with this scripture before. When I read that scripture again the other day, and I thought, you know what? In the wisdom of God, God's put that in there. That's the fourth reference that we've had in this book concerning that message right there. And I pray that the Lord teaches. I need to be taught again. I need to be refreshed in my mind again of the seriousness of what we hear. Lord, give me a heart to believe for the glory of God and my eternal good. Amen. All right, let's